asked here.
Anachnu.
Yes.
Lopam yashavnu kach.
We sat like this more than once, a small group of students with our teacher, Rabash, and he would be talking a little bit, such small conversations. We had them before the holidays. As it is written here that I heard this on the first of the month of Elul. The month of Elul is a special month in which we have Rosh Hashanah. We celebrate Rosh Hashanah, and the whole month itself is a month of conversations about a special attitude between man and his life, what he went through, what he intends for the future. It's a month of retrospect, self-scrutiny. So it's customary for the teacher to say a few words to the students. And this is what Rabash heard, and he wrote, and therefore these things, nevertheless, they are derived from or taken from everything that Baal HaSulam said, and also apparently Baal HaSulam didn't want to elaborate on this and make a full article out of this, because you could really make a book from this whole topic of the Torah and the work. However, this is what we have. So, let us first of all read. And if it would be possible to elaborate, we will elaborate. But in truth, it all comes from within the person. As much as he, in his work, starts to discover more and more what are the these concepts and the definitions that we have here. So, please.
Shamati 45, two discernments in the Torah and in the work. There are two discernments in the Torah, and there are two discernments in the work. The first is the discernment of fear, and the second is the discernment of love. Torah is called a state of wholeness, meaning we do not speak of the state one's work is in, but we speak with respect to the Torah itself.
As it comes to us from the Creator, and is spread over down to us, it builds the upper world, it builds the lower world, our world, it builds us, and it takes care of everything without any participation, any involvement of ours.
The first is called love, meaning that one has a desire and craving to know the ways of the Creator and His hidden treasures. And for that, He makes every effort and exertion to obtain His wish. And he regards everything in the Torah that he extracts from what he has learned as having been granted a priceless thing. Then, according to the appreciation from the importance of the Torah, so one gradually grows until he is slowly shown the secrets of the Torah according to his labor. And the second discernment is fear, meaning that he wants to be a servant of the Creator, since he who does not know the commandment of the Upper One, how will he serve him? He fears and dreads not knowing how to serve the Creator. And when he learns in this way, every time he finds a flavor in the Torah and can use it, He is elated and excited according to the appreciation of the importance from having been granted something in the Torah. And if one persists in this way, one is gradually shown the secrets of the Torah. And here, there is a difference between external teachings and the wisdom of the Torah. In external teachings, the elation lessens the intellect, since emotion is opposite from the intellect. Thus, the elation diminishes the understanding of the intellect. Conversely, in the wisdom of the Torah, the elation is an essence like the intellect. And the reason for this is that Torah is life. As it's written, wisdom preserves he who has it.
Yes.
Wisdom and life are the same thing. Hence, as the wisdom appears in the mind, so the wisdom appears in the emotion. Since the light of life fills all the organs. And it seems to me that this is why one should see that one is always elated over the wisdom of the Torah. Since the elation here, in the elation, there is a big difference between an exterior teaching and the teaching of the Torah. It is likewise in the work. Considered the left line, because it is discerned as reception. The matter of reception means that one wants to receive because he feels a lack. And a lack is regarded as three discernments. One, the want of the individual. Two, the want of the public. And three, the want of the Shechina. And any want is regarded as wanting to satisfy the deficiency.
Hence,
it is considered reception and left line. Whereas Torah, not because he feels a lack that he must be corrected, but that he wants to bestow contentment upon his Maker through prayer, praise, and gratitude. And when one engages in a way that one feels oneself in wholeness and does not see any shortcoming in the world, this is called Torah. However, if one engages while feeling some shortcoming, this is called work. Also, we should make two discernments during the work. One, due to love of the Creator, when he wants to adhere to the Creator and feels that this is the place where he can bring out the measure of love, the love he feels and love the Creator. Two, because of fear, when he has fear of the Creator.
People, the deficiency that people have, or
it says that in the work there are three discernments: the want of the individual, the want of the public, and the want of the Shechina. What's the difference between the deficiency of the public and the want of the Shechina?
With the Shechina, it's not a deficiency that people reveal or that they build. The Shechina is the vessel that comes to us from above through bestowal from above. And in that vessel, the Creator is already revealed. we, from below, need to reach from the individual deficiency to the collective deficiency, the deficiency of the public. This means that we do try to connect ourselves and reach something. However, this is still only our efforts. And this is called the deficiency of the public. Let's say the group, the 10, they have a certain measure of deficiency. And that deficiency cannot still be complete on their side because with the conditions that they were given, they do not implement it sufficiently. So they're not doing everything that they can according to the conditions that they have, of course, and also they're not turning to the Creator, not raising their man, their lack upward, and accordingly, therefore, from below, also they're not inviting, drawing from above the reforming light that will come and connect them correctly, sufficiently, with enough power, so that their deficiency will be so much so that they will be able to invite, to awaken the upper source to take care of them, to connect them as one man in one heart, even in the smallest measure. But nevertheless, for it to make a vessel out of them, that the upper light will make a vessel out of them. So the individual lack that a person has, well, it's personal, even though it's correct, but it's all done personally. He's not incorporated with the others, and therefore he cannot be similar to the upper light. And the collective deficiency, the deficiency of the public, is when there is a deficiency, when one has a deficiency, but still he needs to awaken the upper source so that he will make out of them a deficiency that we call the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah means many individual deficiencies where each one of them truly wants them to connect and that they will be able to bestow contentment to the Creator in that they want to receive from Him. However, that is not enough. It says, make your will as His will so that He will make His will as your will. This means that we awaken the Creator through our desires, and then He, following that, He makes our desires as He wants them to be. And then in such a way, the Shekhinah is built, a deficiency that is truly sufficient and correct, in order to be a partner of the Creator. Since the Creator bestows, and so our deficiency should be not according to what we, the little egoists, how we want to connect between us, but rather that the connection between us will create a spiritual deficiency, a deficiency for spirituality, and that by that we will be the partners of the Creator. And then it turns out that this is how the Shekhinah is built. That is, the Shekhinah, it's not just that we connect together, but that we awaken the Creator, and then the Creator builds the deficiency in us. So the deficiency as well, the correct deficiency, we cannot build it by ourselves. Even though each one of us has plenty of deficiencies, of desires, passions, inclinations, but that is not enough. All of this still requires a connection between us and turning to the Creator that He will make out of us a correct vessel, a correct deficiency. So even that correct deficiency, for us to know what is it that we're lacking and how we should be lacking, that too is built. Not something negative. And the most important thing that we need here, down below, from Ein Sof, where the upper light creates us in the smallest point in what we call this world, so we don't need anything besides a deficiency. All we lack is the vessel, the kli, and the vessel is the deficiency for it to be in the magnitude and also, most importantly, in its character, in its form, in its intensity, for it to be ready for that desire to give as the Creator wants to give us that fulfillment. We have to match our deficiency to the fulfillment. This is what we have to do. Now, here there's a problem, because my deficiency, first of all, it's for a different fulfillment, a different form of filling. And also the size, the magnitude of the filling is also whatever I can measure and depict. We don't have the possibility to build the deficiency for the revelation of the spiritual life, the revelation of the Creator, even the revelation of the deficiency for the creation of the deficiency. We don't have it. And so what we need is to try in the connection between us to build it, to detect it, to discover together. So who should be this upper one, and what does he want from us? And this is why he says that there is the deficiency of the individual and the deficiency of the public, and we have to go over all of these deficiencies until we reach the deficiency, the want of the Shekhinah.
Rav, what is the difference between the discernment of fear in the work and the discernment of fear in the Torah?
Fear is actually a vessel for revelation. But we need to build this vessel correctly. As it says, the fear of the Lord is His treasure. However, how do we build it correctly? Because I don't know what the treasure is, and or the treasury, and what is the fulfillment that needs to be there. So how do I build a vessel that is worthy of fulfillment, of a filling? In technology, we also have this challenge that we want to discover a certain phenomenon, and we know that this phenomenon, it exists. However, where is it? How do we discover it? It exists here somewhere, but how? This means that we need a vessel. And the vessel for something that is not felt, we cannot just build it. And therefore, we have the matter of the deficiencies which we develop gradually. And this is why the Creator started creation from a complete form. When he was in adhesion with the future created being, with Adam HaRishon, and then later on, Adam HaRishon, this structure, this desire became separated from the Creator. Gradually, it was broken, and it reached the shattering. And here, through the connection between us, we reach a special state where we are able, by searching between us, we can locate the right deficiency. That is the vessel, to build a vessel for what it is that I want to measure, to feel, to see, to receive. This is something that does not exist. In our world, usually we get a deficiency, and from this deficiency we search for where is the fulfillment. And in spirituality, it isn't so, because the fulfillment exists in an infinite form around us, filling up the whole of reality, the Creator, right? And we specifically need to discover the vessel for that upper force.
perché parla di non esserci una mancanza quando noi in realtà dobbiamo averla questa mancanza?
Why does he say that there is no deficiency when we say that there should be a deficiency in order to draw the reforming light?
Yes, but it's a different kind of a deficiency. We need to work on the deficiency. The deficiency is the vessel, what's missing. But what precisely is missing? What's missing for me is the fulfillment for my desire to bestow. This is what I lack. And what is the feeling for the will to bestow? The will to bestow itself is the feeling. This is what we do not attain in this world, what we cannot understand. That the fact that I want to bestow, this in itself fills me. Let's depict it like a guy who loves a girl, right? So the fact that he loves her and he cannot sleep at nights and he walks under her windows. What else can we say, Gilad? I don't know. Yes, he plays on the guitar, on the mandolin and other instruments. This fills him. It is considered that on the one hand he's seemingly suffering because he doesn't have what he wants, but on the other hand it fills him. And when he grows and comes out of this silliness, later on sometimes he regrets, how come he doesn't have it anymore, because it used to awaken him and to fill him. That is, a deficiency is not always bad. A deficiency in spirituality is actually the filling. That I yearn for the Creator, and in this yearning, I truly sacrifice myself, so this becomes my filling. This is the deficiency
of the Torah.
The Torah is actually the whole of the upper light that comes to us from the Creator, and it corrects us. That is, it connects us, it fills us, and it brings us to the end of correction, and it is revealed at the end of correction, the entire light of Ein Sof that reaches the created beings in order to arrange them and lead them to perfection. That light is called the Torah.
Let's go to Kiev 3.
Здравствуйте.
Hello. Following the question of Belarus about impression and elation, he writes that it's elation is a separate essence, and one should check that you have the elation. What does it mean that it has a separate essence, and you should check that it has it?
We need to be concerned about having elation, about always having a wind in our sails, even though we're going against our emotion, against our mind. It states that our bed and the states will always be difficult. If the Creator wishes to promote us to corrections, He will always open up for us more and more corrupted discernments of ours. And we just need to constantly realize that all of the challenges that appear are in order to build for us the next degree. That is all. And therefore, without connection between us, we cannot rise on any degree.
Ну, а как это поддерживать? Вот вы только что привели пример петь серенады под балконом. Это что-то из этой серии?
Нет.
How do we support it all the time? You gave an example now of singing a serenade under the balcony, so...
Yeah, it's not like he's doing it, but Yeah, that's okay. You can try that towards the Creator. Sing to Him. Serenade to Him. I'm telling you, it helps. It really helps. Let's sing. Volga.
Спасибо, Рав. Здесь вот написано, он хочет.
Thank you, Rav.
Наслаждение своему создателю. И это происходит.
Says that he wants to bestow contentment upon his maker, and this happens through prayer, praise, and gratitude to the Creator. What are these different kinds of work? Prayer, praise, and gratitude.
Well, prayer is a deficiency when we ask. That too is divided into many steps. And then we respect and we appreciate and praise the Creator that He can do it and that He can correct us. And He created us in order to correct us, and everything is for our benefit and for our sake. And we ask Him to connect us because we want to be more and more worthy to bestow to Him, not to ourselves, but to Him. And then later we come to bless Him over everything, and that's how we finish it. So there are many discernments in the prayer. We have entire articles talking about this. But if we continue to work this way, we will gradually.
Да, дорогой Раф, вот вы сказали, что в духовном любовь.
Yes, dear Rav, you said that in spirituality, love doesn't follow the desire, but to the contrary, it works through opposition, resistance. And you gave the example with the guy and the girl that he actually enjoys having his deficiency. So, what is spiritual love? How is it different from simple, plain love?
Spiritual love is when a person is filled by the yearning for the Creator. This yearning becomes a vessel. Look what is happening to you sometimes. I don't know, each one according to his state. I get up in the morning. I don't have a desire. I have nothing. I'm tired. I want to go back to bed. Maybe, on the other hand, I get up in the morning and I have a deficiency and I want to get to the friends as quickly as possible, to the lesson, to see more, to hear more, to begin to feel something. It fulfills me. So in spirituality, the yearning, the deficiency. It's not emptiness. I am filled with this longing, with this inclination towards Him. The yearning that becomes my fulfillment. I don't want anything else. I don't want to receive anything from the Creator except for getting this yearning towards Him.
And I don't want to fill it up.
And that's fulfillment for me. That's considered fulfillment. Later, when in corporeality we want to begin to fill ourselves up, where you had a yearning and you were like a kid there, a 12, 13-year-old kid, you would long for a girl. Let's say you would continue to meet with her and then you would enter a life together. Then where is that yearning, where is that longing, where is that deficiency, where are those those nights that you would think about her and I would fill you up and look at your face even. That's how you look like you have that feeling. How different that feeling is from what you're having today. Why? Because you killed it by seeking corporeal fulfillment in place of the deficiency. Our ego continues to work because it wants to fill itself, it wants to attain, and the attainment destroys the yearning. And there's no yearning, there's no vessel, there's no hunger, there's no lack. What to do? That's why in spirituality, I come to a state where I have a restriction, a screen, a reflected light, and I'm building my partsuf above my will to receive. And only there am I giving. Not giving, not receiving, giving. And my pleasure, my entire pleasure is from giving, and inside this giving, I discover all the abundance, the wealth that exists, or the happiness that exists in creation. That's the foundation of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's why it's called the wisdom of Kabbalah, to receive. It's not so simple. It's not just to receive. It's how to receive in order to remain full, infinitely full in time, in space, in everything.
Dear
Rav, I simply didn't understand. You moved from the place where you have a deficiency that is not filled, that I understand. How did you move on to the next stage where you already have a screen and you want to fill yourself?
That happens by the reforming light, by the Creator's power that works on you. If, in place of the girl in the window that you play something for her on a mandolin, you have the Creator that you want to bestow to, not to receive from. You don't want this girl to jump into your arms from the window, from the balcony. Rather, you want to express your love for the Creator. Then you need the reforming light. And then you build it above your desire. Yeah. Why do we have such a strong impression from first love? It's very similar there. Similar to spiritual attraction. When you don't want her corporeally, with hormones and everything that happens later, and everything kind of gets spoiled. Rather, you want everything in the form of I to my beloved and my beloved to me. You just want the feelings. But then you turn it into a corporeal action, a hormonal act, and by that you ruin everything. But we have no choice in our world. In spirituality, it's different.
And in spirituality, I'll be able to keep myself from...
In spirituality, after the restriction, the screen, the reflected light, you come to a zivug, a coupling. But the coupling is striking against the egoistic desire, and you build a condition for connection above the egoistic desire. That's why it exists eternally and whole. That's the difference between spirituality and corporeality. That's why spirituality is eternal and corporeality is as we see it. Think about it, especially men. So these are corporeal fears. Spiritual fears begin from the connection with the Creator, meaning as much as I can be close to, or God forbid, distant from the Creator. how much I can bestow to him, and maybe, God forbid, I care about myself, how much I'm bestowing to myself, and so on and so forth. Here we discern the direction and the magnitude, and that's why all of our corrections are about how to correct these deficiencies, and the deficiencies for the Creator, we don't know how to aim them. And that's why the Creator shattered the vessel of Adam HaRishon, who was seemingly searching for how to aim it correctly, to go back to the right connection with himself, how this vessel of the will to receive that was in the spiritual desire is brought down to a corporeal state, and how from the corporeal state he can come back to the spiritual state. So you need to build inside this desire a certain template, model of sorts, where you can figure out what is corporeality and what is spirituality. So he'll have something to start from. So in that place he's in, the corporeal place, the material place, to have an example for this is spirituality and this is corporeality. And that's why the Creator breaks the vessel of Adam HaRishon, and he gives him an opportunity to correct himself. So if they connect against the desire, then it's called spirituality. If you go with the desire, it's corporeality. You can connect between them. You have to turn to the Creator. Oh, so we have contact between the created beings by the Creator, who has to be there as the connector, the adapter. And this way, we...
fear.
In spirituality, and there's a great difference between spirituality and corporeality. In corporeality, fear extinguishes the love, and love extinguishes the fear. And in spirituality, they go hand in hand and support one another and grow one another. The more I love, the more I'm afraid to spoil it. I look after my love, and that's why in spirituality love only grows, and the fear grows accordingly. And in corporeality it can't be. It depends on the vessels in which we reveal the matter of connection, either in order to receive or in order to bestow. If it's in order to bestow, then both fear and love, they go hand in hand.
How does the discernment of the Torah and the discernment of the work, how should they fit together in our work?
Again?
How do the discernment of the Torah and the discernment of the work work together in go together in our work?
They also complement one another, Torah and work, because according to my work, what I invest, the reforming light comes and it completes my vessel, and in this vessel, I eventually.
How should we yearn to the Creator, not out of a lack, but out of fear and love?
Fear and love are also a deficiency, but a deficiency that gives me adhesion in the Creator, and not rather than pushing me away. There's nothing greater, more exalted, and how shall I put it, more whole than the deficiency. You just understand. If I lack the Creator, adhesion with Him, if I yearn to embrace with Him, what can be better than that? What can be better if I have a set table before me and have an appetite, enough appetite to receive everything on the table? And there's a host who was expecting me to receive everything from him with love. You understand? Meaning, the deficiency is a correct thing. What is the one thing the Creator created? The deficiency. After he is present. What did he do? A deficiency. That's what he created. So we need to only learn how to work with the deficiency. The work with the deficiency is called the wisdom of Kabbalah. How to correctly receive, how to build the deficiency correctly. And he will be filled. This is our work.
In continuation to what you said now, from PT38, they're asking, how does a person guarantee that he will not lose the fear along the way? How do we keep the complete fear?
This has to do with the group. We have to constantly scrutinize between us, between the friends in the group. What else can we add to our deficiency today compared to our deficiency yesterday? And in this way we will advance. Constantly search. Constantly search. And also to talk amongst ourselves, especially PT38 is a very sharp group. There are such women there I'm afraid of.
From Moscow 20, what does it mean that the light of life fills all of the organs?
We also have it in the song. Right, that it fills all the organs. Right, the light of life is what comes to us from the Creator. It's the feeling of the Creator. This is what we call life. Because the one who is alive is the upper light that wants to bestow, to give, that fills us, that brings us life. That's what we get, that's what we receive and we feel, and that's why it's called the light of life. According to what we feel life, according to how much we want through the connection between us, meaning in spite of our ego, the connection between us expresses how much we're capable of rising above our egos. I am willing to embrace all of my friends, although I rejected, I repel them, and the more we advance, I don't just repel them, I want to kill them and burn them, and it doesn't matter what. We overcome it, not externally, internally. We ask the Creator to give us the possibility for connecting above the hate and the rejection and the corruption and criticism, and we connect and embrace or raise ourselves to the Creator, and from Him we get fulfilled in the connection between us. That's what's happening. Try to make it tangible. We'll see that these things are so real. We have to do it. You'll discover how you don't want it. You are completely blocked off. You have no mind for it, no heart. You find yourselves thrown into corporeal things. Later, you once again arise. As it's written, 1,000 times, a righteous shall fall and rise again. And in this way, more and more and more, everything and anything but leave. Don't leave the connection, even when it looks like the worst possible connection and it may appear as non-existent. But I remain. I step outside. I'm not going to take a step to the side of the ten. Even when I feel myself the worst and I'm disturbing, you should stay. And you'll see that tomorrow will be another day, and tomorrow could be a moment from now.
Sandra from the France 1 group is asking, can we say that the group is in the intellect and the Torah is working the heart and the connection of the two of them together gives the middle line?
Again?
Can we say that the work is in the mind, in the intellect, and the Torah is working the heart and the connection of the two of them will form the middle line?
I wouldn't say it's correct, but they should work in this way and discover for themselves what's correct. Spiritual work is not in the intellect. The hearts. The Creator demands all the hearts. That's what's written and that's what we need. Our intellect is good only in order to aim the heart, direct it only for that. And we need to connect the hearts. So if you try, especially women who try to somehow bring the hearts closer, and the heart of a woman is closed
in
such a way, that's why our work, our main work is through the man to draw the light that it will influence the woman, just like in corporeality. The man brings the sperm to the woman, and she begins to develop and then give birth to the new generation. Similarly, we, the men, have to bring the light to the women, both to the inner woman in us, since in each of us there's a masculine and feminine part, and also to the external women, the external part in Bnei Baruch. Women have to be organized, at least to some extent, that they are ready to connect between them and receive our influence, and together we'll come to a state where we'll be as one man and one vessel, one body, one desire. This will come. I see, according to the advancement of women, that we have a very powerful woman part.
Question from Latin 13. I have to yearn for the Creator all the time. Does it mean that I should long for a connection with my ten all the time?
That's first and foremost. It's not the end, but yearning to the connection in the ten is the necessary condition for advancing. It doesn't end there, because the connection in the ten, I have to add many more conditions and to do a lot of work there. In short, I need to start seeing in the connection with the ten a spiritual world completely. There is no corporeality. I don't see any faces. I don't see any other actions. Only spiritual actions. And in these spiritual actions that I see in the friends, I begin to see that behind them stands the Creator, and He arranges those actions of theirs. And so in the attitude to the friends, through them, I relate to the Creator, I find the connection with Him. And without the friends, I can't reach the Creator. In this way, I'm locating, I'm building my connection with the Creator. Where I call the friends, I see that, I connect to the friends, I see that behind the Creator stands, I relate to them like to the Creator, and I come out to the connection with Him. I don't have words for it, but try to write about it. Songs. Poetry, I don't know, articles, try to express it somehow. The Creator is revealed inside the friends, behind the friends. In the revelation of the connection with the friends, we come to that image, which will be called the Creator. Boy, come and see. What does it mean, come and see? What do I have to come to? I have to come to being included in the friends, and then behind them I see that force that is sustaining them, which is the Creator.
Not important. What's important for us is how we connect above all the differences between us. Corporeal differences and spiritual differences. That I see all the friends. Well, to begin with, of course, we are in a state that a man and a woman, what I see, that influences me, right? In any case, we're not above our will to receive, our corporeal one. But ultimately, we will reach a state that we will all be only in our internal desires, that all our desires will be aimed, directed to the Creator, then there won't be any difference between man and woman, because the direction, the yearning, the urgency in connection to the Creator will determine how much we need to be connected between us. And then all will be cancelled, all the differences are cancelled. And so I think that soon there's already a lot, the men and women have already come a lot nearer, and in spirituality, it will occur that we will progress in spirituality. Yes?
From PT2, do only men draw the light, or can women draw the reforming light as well?
There is no difference. Rabash would already say this with an open mouth, that there's no difference between men and women in drawing the light, and women can reach this also, like the men, in connection between them, and they would not be dependent on the men. We, in any case, need to be dependent in as much as possible connection between us, and then the king is in the mixed multitude, in the nation, and so we strengthen in a bigger group, and we have a very unique work of women in organization, I think more than the men, as much as they devote themselves to organizing, translating, dissemination, and everything. And so I see no difference. I see the opposite, that the work of the women is much more beneficial, direct, and loyal than the work of the man. Yes. Thank you to you.
Last question. Just like there's a female part in the desire of the man, do women also have a male part in their desire?
Yes, that's clear. That we're all incorporated of X and Y, right? from the chromosomes, each of us is incorporated of a male and female part. And there is also, in our recent times, there is a great confusion in all this, which actually it always was in each and every one of us. But in spirituality, we need in connection between us to make an effort to connect ourselves such that the upper light will make the connection. And so in the upper light, there's no mistake. And then each one sees how much he more and more and more make an effort to enter into connection with the friends, between them, to complete them, in order to reach revelation of the whole Creator. More and more and more. Because the Creator, we build him in the form and intensity of our connection. And so here we have, we don't have where to be mistaken. We only present ourselves as ready to this that the Creator will work upon us. And as much as we annul, then the Creator will be able to more and more build the network of connection between us that is correct and clothe in it. It all depends on the annulment of man to the group and to the Creator. That's it. And so we hope that in this we will receive assistance from him. That's it, or is there's more?
What is Rav's expectation of the women groups?
My expectation from the women's group is that in privilege of the righteous women, Israel exit Egypt, right? That's written in the Torah. So I hope that in privilege of our women, we will exit our ego, our egoistic desire, this terrible thing that, in any case, still controls us. And the women will draw us, pull us out of it, and we will reach also the men, these weak, small ones, by the women, we will exit the will to receive to a will to bestow. That's it. The world begins from the woman. The sin was made in the privilege of the woman, and the correction will be by the privilege of the woman. And to this we're expecting. And so I'm always happy that we have in our study women, that the women really, yes, that they're in connection with us. You already know that Zon of Ak shone this new light to the 10 Sfirot of Nikudim through two places. It shone to the Keter of Nikudim through the Tabur, and shone to Abba and Ima of Nikudim through Yesod. Know that this illumination through the Tabur is called Cholam, which shines to the Otiyot above them. Because the illumination of Tabur reaches only the Keter of Nikudim, the male level of the Rosh of Nikudim,
meaning the Keter of Nikudim stands here, and when it shines to the Keter of Nikudim, this is the beginning of Nekudot.
And the male level does not expand into the Zat of Nikudim, which are the vessels of the Guf called Otiyot. Hence, it is considered to be shining on them only from its place above, without expanding in the Otiyot themselves. The illumination through the Yesod is called Shuruk.
Wait, meaning there's an illumination above the Tabur, which is completely from above, which does not enter the vessels because there's also no vessels there. It's the keter, which is all standing from above down. It is all revived like the keter. And then the light that comes to keter of Nikudim, to the katnut of keter of Nikudim, it kind of shines there, and that's it. Meaning there's no more expansion to the rest of the actions. Yes? That's what he's saying. And the level of the male does not spread to the zat of Nikudim, which are the vessels of the guf, which are called otiyot. Hence, it is considered that it shines upon them only from its place above, which expands below the...
No.
Well.
No, Nikvar.
Well, I'm already...
Tabur.
Not Palsa, but Tabur, yes. And does not spread in the Otiyot themselves, which begin from Tabur downwards. And the illumination through Yesod is called Shuruk, meaning Avav with a dot. It stands inside the line of the Otiyot. In this light that illuminates inside the vessels is called Vav with a point inside. Yes.
The reason is that this illumination comes to Abba and Ima of Nikudim, which are the female level of the Rosh of Nikudim, whose lights expand to the Guf as well, which are the Zat of Nikudim, called Otiyot. This is why you will find the Dat of Shuruk inside the line of the Otiyot.
Who wanted to ask there? Oh, we promised the women. Please.
From Mach 25, why does letter item 87 talk about the light of Chaya in the Parzuf? Is there that light in Rosh of Nikudim?
No, that in the world of Nikudim, the main thing in the world of Nikudim is that it will be as Nekudot of Sag came down. I'm showing this to you. Nekudot of Sag emerged downwards and connected with Nehi of Galgalta. They bestowed to the Nehi of Galgalta the light of Bina. Because of that, the Nehi of Galgalta thought that it's possible to receive something, because they're already in bestowal, and then they give their desires to Nekudot of Sag. Nekudot of Sag restrict themselves and build the place here for the worlds of Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya. And all these records rise to the Rosh. The Reshimot of Katnut stand in Nikve Naim, receive a coupling upon the Nikve Naim and build the Katnut of the world of Nikudim, which is Keter, Abba Ve'ima, and Zon. This is the Katnut of the world of Nikudim. It's not a world. It's just a small partuf, but named for the future of what will be born from it. It's nevertheless called an Olam, world. It is born upon the records of 2-1 restricted, and then comes the record 3-4, what was born here from Nehiavak. And this is where Zivuk takes place in the Peh, not in Nikvenaim. And from this, Keter and Abba Ve'ima perform a coupling, a Zivug, upon the Gadlut, over 3-4, and then it turns out that the great light of Chokhmah emerges to the Zon, and by this light they want to develop below the Parsa, but are not capable of doing so, since they have no masach to stand before the light of Chokhmah and be in vessels of reception like here. Therefore, this whole structure in Gadlut, in maturity. I'm drawing this so you can see what will happen here in Gadlut.
זה זיווג על זיווג על
This is on the zivug.
Arba v'shalosh.
Of 4, 3.
V'kanzina.
And this is where the shattering took place. The light goes till the parsa, everything is fine, but when it moves below the parsa, then here there is the shattering of the vessels. The shattering of the vessels. Shvira. Okay. That's it. And this shattering, although it happened below the parsa, but it also, because it's a complete partsuf, then out of it taking place below, it also influences above, and here too, the vessels shatter. And then these records from the shattering rise in return to the Rosh of Sag, and the Rosh of Sag performs a restriction upon them, starts to arrange them, and then it turns out from that the world of Atzilut,
Bria,
Yetzira, and Asiya.